Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
I mean, I'm never going to say no. I don't love trading future ones. If it makes sense, I'll do it, but I don't love it.
I mean, come on. I know you. You know you. And I know you know that I know you.
Right or wrong, I probably deserve criticism for trading up sometimes. I get that. But if there's a guy I like and I'm confident, I want to go to bed Thursday night that I got him.
They're on to me, dude. Those guys are sharp as nails up there. You can't put anything past them.
I'll take any call. You know me.
You're listening to Jeremy and Joe on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550.
Jeremy and Joe, happy Friday. Some rain coming in a little bit through the area. We're going to talk with Sal Capaccio, recapping yesterday's Brandon Bean presser. He met with the media. So did Josh Allen. So did Sean McDermott. Happy Friday. Good morning, Sal.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Pretty good, you know. Got to a weekend. Inside of a week left to the draft. The misinformation or the leaks or whatever, the rumors, it kicks up into a frenzy probably in the next 6 days. I forget who it is. Maybe it's Sam Monson who posts again and again. This time last year, Will Levis was the favorite to go number two. And then he went in the second. Yeah, and he went in the second round.
Wow.
Yep. So he posted every couple weeks just to remind everybody, you know, you might hear Jaden Daniels is going two. He might go in the third round. I mean, it gets goofy around this time of year. So Will Levis was the favorite to go second overall last year, and that did not happen. So anyway, takeaways from yesterday, Sal. We know it's smokescreen season, so they're not going to tell you what they're going to do. Conversations with being in the media yesterday, what did you come out with?
Well, I got takeaways from all four people who spoke. Which, where do you want to start? We'll start with Brandon Bean?
Let's start with Bean.
Yeah, I think I'm a little bit even more of it's possible. Like, I always know it's possible you could do anything, right? Of course. It's the draft, and you don't know how it's going to fall, and oh my God, wow, there's a guy there, we can move up. I've always thought, you know, he's going to move up. And I still think there's more of a chance of moving up than the three scenarios, move up, move down, or stay. I do think after listening to him, though, I'm opening more to the idea of moving down, to be honest with you. And I understand that you have to parse through these things, like you said, guys. It's, what do you want to call it? Lying season, smokescreen season, whatever. I think Brandon's been, you know, pretty upfront and honest when he talks with us. He's not going to give you exactly what's going to happen. But when he says things, you can kind of read into how they feel about the board, how they feel about their position. And I do feel that, you know, because this draft is so deep at wide receiver, and a couple things he said about, you know, really using last year's trade of up for Dalton Kincaid and how he had a deal on the table he really liked. He said if Dalton wasn't there, like, but he really wanted Dalton, he was there, he could get him, he was going to do that trade to go down and pick up extra picks. And then I think about also what he said, that there's a bigger gap. First of all, there's not 28 players with first-round grades, right? That's something he said. They are picking 28th, okay, so think about that for a second. And then there's a bigger gap from the top of the second to the bottom of the second than there is from the bottom of the first to the top of the second. So that tells me maybe they would feel very comfortable moving down, what, 10, 15 spots. still getting a guy they really like and picking up extra capital. So I'm open more to that idea, Evan.
That, of course, always takes a team that wants to trade up with you, right? And it's always kind of funny trying to figure out, all right, trade down because it's so deep. And then the question would become, well, who wants to trade up in a deep class? It might be a different position, right? That might be a team coming up for a tackle or a corner or whatever it might be. You never know what these other teams' needs might be. So, all right, a bigger drop-off from the top of the second to the bottom of the second than there is from the bottom of the first to the top of the second. That's what he said?
I believe he was talking about this draft. He was. Yes. I don't think it was an example. I have to go back and remember to listen because he was kind of talking about in years past. He was talking about this year, but I do think that's what he said, yes.
Okay, fair enough. And the Bills, of course, pick at the bottom of the second, which means, you know, whatever they do in the first, the pressure gets cranked up. Not from us, but I would think Bean himself knows once we make our call at 28, the call at 60 is our last decision to make for, you know, hours, for almost 100 picks. Their next pick is 128, I think. So they have one pick in the span of 100 picks. And that's going to be something, of course, we key in on. Maybe that's why they want to move down out of the first into the second. They have two closer together, add a third. If it's there, I could understand it. But at the same time, we know the most picks they've ever had with the Bean draft, is it 8? And they have 10 going in. So I wonder if they view the fourths and the fifths as currency they can easily throw around to make sure they get whoever they want in those rounds.
Yeah, I agree with that. And again, so this is why I still am in the more of a camp of them moving up than moving down. I just want to be more open to it moving down, but I'm still more in the camp of moving up because, A, that's what he does. Brandon Bean moves up. We know that. Last few years, he's had these small move-ups. Also, what you just said, they have a lot of picks. They have picks to be able to move around. They have quantity. They have draft capital. And I still think about the trail of breadcrumbs leading all the way back to, hey, they didn't get their third-round comp. They were mad about that. He said it at the owners' meetings, said it really kind of, you know, was a major blow, is what he said, kind of blew up their plans a little bit here in the offseason, and then they got the fourth round instead. So they did get the extra fourth, but then he goes out 2 weeks later and trades for a second next year. Okay, now think about this for a second. They don't get the third, but they get next year's second. Next year's second is equal to this year's third. He said that to us yesterday. He said, when you trade a pick next year, and we know this, but he said it. You trade a pick next year, you have to go one round higher. So trading a third this year would be equal to trading a second next year. If you want to push a trade into next year's capital, you got to go a round higher. That's why it's going to cost you next year's first to be able to get, you know, to move up and, you know, instead of this year's second. That tells me, okay, if you told me you were mad that you didn't get a third round pick, and then 2 weeks later, you grabbed a second-round pick next year. Why did you do that? It wasn't just because you wanted to trade Stephon Diggs. I mean, I'm sure that's a big part of it. You know, they're reshaping their roster. But now you have that capital that maybe it would have taken anyway to jump higher in the first round. If that all makes sense to you, the way I'm doing it, I think, to me, that's how I kind of process the trail of breadcrumbs, like I said.
That's almost to say, I just made this point last hour, Sal, that, like, you might even prefer, you know, obviously prefer trading a second round pick next year as opposed to trading a second round pick this year, because without having that third that you thought you were getting for Tremaine Edmonds, I mean, if you do that, you go to the middle of the teens and draft Brian Thomas Jr., suddenly you're not picking till round four.
That's exactly right. And I think that's why, you know, it was a blow to them that they weren't expecting that, and then they had to kind of maneuver and scramble. And 2 weeks later, they trade Stephon Diggs. They get a second-round pick next year. So I do think that's the case. Now, I mean, as far as positioning and players, yeah, I mean, I think we have to be open to other things than wide receiver. But I still think, even though he did say, and obviously the big headline is, you guys have talked about it, you know, we talked about it yesterday, that he feels good about the group and they don't, quote-unquote, need a number one wide receiver. They can be successful without a number one wide receiver. I mean, yeah. Do I think that Brandon Bean really believes that, hey, if we didn't have a number one wide receiver, do we still have Josh Allen and could be successful? Yes, I do. I also still believe that Brandon Bean would really, really prefer to have a number one wide receiver.
Yeah. And would know, too, that even if they don't have a number one this year, like, they still need someone else on the roster that's going to be productive. If they draft a rookie, I doubt they're going to talk about him being, oh, 100 target, he's going to replace all of Diggs. You know, he'd be part of the group. So his point would still remain. But I wonder, Sal, if any of Bean's goal yesterday, and maybe his goal behind the scenes too, is just don't make teams think that I'm right. only going receiver, because if that's the case, you know, he could want to sit at 28, not do nothing. And if everyone knows he's taking a receiver, then suddenly teams like Kansas City, Baltimore, etc. know, okay, well, if we want our guy, we've got to jump the Bills, because we 100% know what they're doing.
Agreed with you totally on that, Joe. It's, you know, it's what we say, lying season, smoke screen season, whatever. It's also just making sure you don't, you know, give away your poker hand to everyone's season, right? I mean, like, it doesn't have to be about, you know, outright lying and telling everybody exactly, you know, the opposite of what you believe. It's basically making sure you don't lose leverage. That's the way I interpreted yesterday. Like, for me, I'm thinking, okay, yes, he does have Josh Allen. Of course he feels comfortable about that, regardless of who his receivers are. But if he goes out there and says, hey, by the way, everybody, we need a number one receiver. Well, guess what just happened? A, what you just said, other teams are going to be jumping them possibly. But the other thing that's going to happen is if he goes to make a trade with somebody, they're going to go, dude, you just told your entire fan base you absolutely have to have a receiver. I'm going to hold even higher ransom for this, because if you don't get it, you're going to look really bad for everybody. He doesn't want that to happen. He doesn't want to lose leverage. So if he really wants to go up, get a wide receiver, if he wants to draft one early in the first round, he's not going to go out there and tell the world, oh my God, I better go do this, because now he just lost leverage with everybody he speaks to about doing it. So yeah, that's I think why, you know, we hear the kind of tone we hear yesterday leading up to the draft, because teams just don't want to lose leverage when they're going through this process.
Of course, built into this is what GM would believe him. Right? Like, mm-hmm. he's got to maintain that line. But if you call me and I'm 17, like, I know what you're here for. Maybe it's one of two positions. You know, these teams scout each other. They would probably, I wonder, Sal, like, if you have a guy in for a visit, let's say you're the Steelers. The Steelers have been mocked Brian Thomas Jr. many times. I wonder if they would ask, like, how'd it go for your visit with them at the Combine or in Buffalo? You know, are these teams comparing notes with the players themselves on their other visits? How did it go when you went to Kansas City? How did it go when you went to L.A.? You know, and trying to exact any sort of information from these players in that scenario.
Well, listen, I mean, you can talk to them whatever you want, I guess, right? But I would tell you, absolutely, this happens. The agent is going to tell the Bills, hey, if you want my guy, you better come up to 15 and get him, because, you know, this team is getting him. Absolutely, that happens all the time. The agents have a lot of, I mean, however much actual influence they have on the decision making, I think, you know, is up to each individual team and how it plays out. But my gosh, the agents work their butts off to get their guy in the highest position possible. And absolutely, they are telling. I've heard stories of this happening where they'll make sure, hey, you better come up to 10 and get my guy, because otherwise he's gone by 12. Because they want to make sure that they get the most for their client to be drafted as high as possible. And that is absolutely happening.
There's also a funny little thing that happened yesterday, and that's about whether or not Josh Allen has any input. And, you know, Josh talking about how he's watched the receivers. He knows them all. He likes to think he has something to say in this, but he knows he doesn't. Then he relays the story that on draft night, he texts Bean, Dalton Kincaid, and they take Dalton Kincaid. So I'm sure Josh isn't running the pick, but there's a debate on whether or not he should have any input. Because in this league, we see quarterbacks that are left kind of high and dry, and they get frustrated. So I wonder what Allen's input does mean to Bean and what he might say about what he's got there. Because I think I heard you pointing out yesterday that the only person that caught passes from Josh Allen last year in the receiver room that's on this team this year is Khalil Shakir. Everybody else is new. He's got a fully revamped receiver core, and while he might have faith in, you know, some of those guys and get to know them, Allen, I would imagine, is going to want a little more help than he's got. And I'd imagine he makes that clear to Bean, too.
I don't want to take credit for saying that. Maybe it was Joe, but it might have been during our show.
Okay.
But it is true.
Might have been Chris Brown. I listened to the station the whole day yesterday, so I knew it was somebody.
So, well, Chris might have said that too, but it is true, obviously. I think input is an interesting word, right? Like, input as far as what? Josh Allen can offer as much input as he wants. The question is how much influence he would have and how much that input would matter, right? Because, yes, he does text Brandon Bean. They have a relationship. We know that. Brandon said he loves the fact that Josh loves the draft. He knows, loves the fact that he's, you know, he pays attention. So I asked Josh, like, okay, so tell me what that is like from your angle. Like, what are you doing? Are you watching these guys and texting Brandon? Are you, you know, like going to these meetings and whatever? I asked Brandon, what can Josh do? Can he meet with these guys? So let's just kind of lay out how this all works, right? When these guys come in for 30 visits, Brandon Bean did say, of course, if Josh is in the building, they can meet with him. They can say hello. He's not going to necessarily, he's not going to be in these meetings doing all this stuff. Josh doesn't have access to the medicals. Josh doesn't have access to how smart these guys are and talking to their college coaches and their wide receiver position coaches and, you know, all the different intel that the front office has. So how much influence can he really have without knowing that process? But if Josh Allen watches a guy on film, guys, and he goes, man, this guy, he'd really fit him in what we do. Mm-hmm. Or if he watches and goes the other way and says, I just don't like the way this guy runs this route. I don't know if this skill set is going to translate. I would think absolutely Brandon Beane would at least take that feedback and think about it. What would he go as far as saying, I'm giving Josh Allen veto power? You know, I don't think so. But I do think that if Brandon Beane really likes a guy and Josh Allen were to text him and go, oh my God, I know somebody from college who knows this person. I watched this guy's tape. I'm really concerned about this. I think that would cause Brandon at least to do a little more homework, to go back and figure out, like, is this the right person for us? And then have a conversation with Josh. He's not running the draft. He's not picking the players. The Dalton Kincaid thing is funny. It's kind of a, I think we've kind of reversed what happened last year, which is fine because that's what Josh talked about, which is right. He did text him that. Josh Allen was keenly aware, I'm sure, they were looking at tight ends all year, right? And mm-hmm. through the offseason. And he knew Dalton Kincaid was on the radar. And I think that by that time, I'm pretty darn sure Josh Allen knew that tight end was a distinct possibility. And he knew that Dalton could have been a guy. So he texts Dalton Kincaid. I do not think Brandon Beane drafted Dalton Kincaid because Josh Allen texted him that. I just think it was an endorsement of who he thought he might already be drafting, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Do you think enough attention's being paid to Kincaid? Like, he's probably, Sal, going to be, I think this, that he's going to be their leading target getter on the season. I know Allen mentioned him a couple of times yesterday. Just, like, I don't know, like, how much of their plan at, you know, and the passing offense in general is just that they think there's going to be growth from their second-year first-round tight end.
I think a lot, absolutely. Beane talked about that yesterday and just how much, you know, he will be a, can be, and you know they expect him to be a big part of what they do. He's a tight end, and you know they have Dawson Knox still, and we talked last year and debated, is he a wide receiver, tight end, think of him as a wide receiver and whatever, but whether you call him a wide receiver or tight end, yes, I think he's gonna be a part of a passing game for sure. And I think that that's something that, you know, the Bills really want to make happen. And look, I mean, he was very good it's the second half of last year. He had a historic season for a rookie tight end. And a lot of that happened after Joe Brady took over. It coincided with the drop in production with Stephon Diggs. I think we got a little peek into how, you know, Brady views and what he wants to do and how, you know, Kincaid fits in. So I think what really sucks for Dalton, to be quite honest with you, or the perception of him, is because Sam Laporta had the season he had. And I've seen this over the last few days, even like people wondering about Dalton Kincaid, if he was a good pick, if he's a good player. Like, are you kidding me? Just because he wasn't the top tight end statistically of last year's draft, and he was taken after the guy who was, I mean, before the guy who was, I don't know what to tell you. He still had one of the greatest seasons ever for a rookie tight end in this league. Like, yeah, so did Sam Laporta, who, by the way, was immediately a big part of the Lions offense, whereas Dalton Kincaid wasn't. But just because Sam Laporta had better stats than Dalton Kincaid, and Kincaid was taken ahead of him, is not anything whatsoever an indictment on Dalton Kincaid, who still is one of the greatest rookie tight end seasons in the history of this league.
Sal Capaccio joining us. I want to pick up on that point a little later in the show, but we've got a call to get to here with Sal, and short on times. Dave and Randolph. Dave, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
Good, Dave.
Thanks.
Great. So I'm hoping I explain this right, and I hope, Sal, I respect your opinion and your football knowledge more than anything. So I figure you're the perfect person to ask. End of last season. Oh, my God. The end of last season, Sean McDermott's press conference, he's talking about having to get bigger chunk plays, down the field plays. We all know it's what Allen specializes in, but the defenses have adjusted to hold Allen into these dink and dunks for the most part. But McDermott was adamant about improving that part of the game, however that happens. And I'm looking at some of these receivers. Thomas Jr. seems like he's a long down the field, stretch the field specialist. And, you know, which would go along with what McDermott wants. But Beane, on the other hand, was talking about yard after catch guys and taking what the defense gives you. And I don't know how in the world they're going to pick the right guy for our offense. If it doesn't seem, I'm sure there's not a disconnect, but it appears to be differences of opinion or philosophy between the general manager, the head coach, and possibly Brady. Just wondering your thoughts on that.
Like, yeah, no, hold on one second. What's the caller's name? What's the caller's name?
Dave.
Dave. Okay, Dave. Not at all. I think, Dave, you're missing, or maybe you didn't hear. Sean McDermott was the first person to talk about run after catch. He was the first person to bring up that's how they have to do it. Sean McDermott has been very adamant about the changing landscape of the defense. We talked about this with him at the owners meeting specifically. I said, you know, hey, this is the too high shell now. He said the league has changed. You got to find ways to get the ball to playmakers and have them make plays. So I don't know, like, where maybe you picked up in the point of how they talked about it. But it has not been at all that Sean McDermott has talked about going over the top of the defense and Brandon Bean has been going underneath. In fact, it's just the opposite. McDermott's actually been the one that's been more, to me, driving the home of they need to get guys who can run with the ball in their hands. They need to make plays underneath because defenses are not allowing teams to go over the top. So I don't think there's a disconnect there whatsoever. I think I've heard the same messaging coming from both these men. And it started with Sean McDermott, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah. They've addressed that already, right? Like, that's the one
thing. With
Curtis
Samuel?
Yeah, Samuel, and they weren't, you know, they've already started that process. Like, Cook is better in that area than past running backs they've had, and I think Shakir is an upgrade over some of their past slot receivers. And you're right, Samuel's really the move for that. So with that being said, like, I don't know, so do you think they're, could that be a skill set that they feel like we're all set at? Where we've already made that move, we've got a couple other guys that are pretty good here. Kincaid, even at tight end, is not bad at this. I'm not saying they want to drive everything through the over-the-top receiver, but I'm still thinking about that as a need for the core as a whole because, you know, how does it work? In a very generalized sense, if you don't have anyone on your offense that the defense respects running deep, then suddenly maybe the defense can think, okay, we can start paying attention to more of those short underneath guys.
Yeah, I wonder the same thing, Joe. I wonder how much Curtis Samuel satisfies that. But I still think they really want, they even talked about it yesterday. Bean talked about it again yesterday, run after catch. Like, it's still an important part, an important component of what they're looking for. I mean, Dave, the caller is right that Sean McDermott has talked about chunk plays. He's given stats. He said, you know, when you go a scoring drive, you're going to have much more of a chance to score if you have a 20-plus yard play built in. But then he would add, but you need to do that any way you can. It doesn't have to be just throwing over the top of the defense. So I do wonder exactly the same thing, how much of getting Curtis Samuel actually fits into that versus going out and still getting somebody in the offense that can help out there. So I still think it's a very big priority for what they want to do, but maybe they feel like they've opened themselves up now to getting guys who aren't as good at that, but are still just really good at getting downfield.
Sal Capaccio on the West Hur Hotline. Thank you, Sal.
You got it. What about, real quick, I did have a couple other things real quick. Number one, it kind of went a little bit viral yesterday talking about this Terrell Bernard weight thing. Did you guys see this?
I saw you, you sent out an audio file with a clarification because what Bernard's talking about, 1 pound of difference and how important that is.
It was wild because, like, what happened was I asked him, I said, you're an undersized guy. And, you know, what is that like for you for training? Do you have to, like, you know, weight, maintaining certain weight and blah, blah, blah. And he said, yeah, I usually play at 225, but this year I came in around 226 or 227, and I'm going to see how that feels. I'm like, wait a minute. So I tweeted that out because that's remarkable to me to think about, like, 1 pound. It wasn't even like, hey, this is what Bernard said. It was more of, wow, I can't believe he's that specific. But the reaction was, okay, well, this is a non-story because it's 1 pound. What are you talking about? No, the story is how this guy actually thinks that this can actually be a big deal for him. So I'm just kind of fascinated and wanted to get your guys' thoughts on how that, which I sent the audio file, which he's basically like, yeah, I'm going to see how that works for me, that 1 pound.
It reminds me of UFC fighters, like when they're like getting to the exact weight, like before a fight. You know, I doubt Terrell Bernard's doing like weight cutting stuff, which like they do in those sports. Which is
no, he actually said he gained weight, right? He gained weight. He said then through natural progression of the season, you know, it will fluctuate. But I thought that was interesting. And the other big takeaway, real quick, guys, is I really thought that Sean McDermott struck a really interesting tone about the change of leadership on this team, and he has to, right? I mean, you're losing how much leadership with Mitch Morse, Jordan Poyer, probably Micah Hyde, Stephon Diggs, Gabe Davis, who's a captain, Saran Neal, special teams. I mean, so much leadership out the door. And Sean talked a lot about the new leadership, and he really even pointed out Josh Allen and him taking that part of his game, very focusing on that leadership. And I just think this is something to watch in the offseason, which is Josh's leadership, who then Josh backed it up by saying, like, you know, I mean, it's something I'm excited to, you know, new people here and lead, and I have to be a better leader. And I just think it's interesting. And, you know, Josh, it's not that Josh is not grown up in any way, but I do think that I feel like coming out of yesterday that Josh Allen feels like he needs to grow even more to be a leader that he has not been, a certain type of leader he hasn't been. I thought it was really interesting yesterday.
All right. Thank you, Sal.
You got it.
You can read more from Sal at our website, WGR550.com. Jeremy and Joe with you. When we get back, I want to talk about that Kincaid point that he made about, you know, Laporta and what it means for Kincaid and one of the biggest rookie seasons in NFL history for a tight end producing because, you know, Kincaid's here. He's a part of their future. And I guess we should kind of decide or discuss, is he the new number one target for years?
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medella, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Years. How we feel about that, if that's the case. I'll explain a little bit more. 803-0550, 8 o'clock, we're going to put together our wide receiver big board. Want to do it at 8?
Yes.
We'll rank these prospects. We have a big, giant board in here, like we're making some sort of presentation in front of a, I don't know, what, high school class?
Yeah. Yeah.
Got the big board here. We're gonna put the names on it. We're going to bring this to our draft party, and then when the receivers start getting drafted, pull names off the board so we see who's left, and you know, we'll see what happens in the Bills in the first round. Our draft party, of course, at Resurgence. Thursday, 7:30 to 11:30. You can find information on our website and at Resurgence's website as well for tickets. Come join us. Come hang. Draft party. It's going to be fun. And if nothing else, come to see this board, and maybe we'll let other people rip the names off when they get taken. Wouldn't that be fun? Jeremy and Joe on WGR.
With this, there is a lot of opportunity for our guys that are in that room right now and as an offense and really as a team to evolve and grow and become a new version of the Buffalo Bills and to come together as a team over the course of OTAs is what we're doing right now. And, you know, got a lot of time before we kick off the first game, so a lot to learn from. Obviously, it's frustrating to look back and see some of the stuff that was on tape, especially for myself, but excited to address those and move forward and get better.
That's Bills quarterback Josh Allen. I'm looking up some yak stats.
Okay.
Yak stats.
Bills yak stats.
Oh,
also,
yak stats.
Is it yak or wreck? What are we doing?
I mean,
are we doing different things? Are they different at all?
I was raised on yak.
I was raised on yak.
Because it's yards. It's not run. If you run after the catch for a minute and a half and only gain 1 yard, what's important? The yard.
Good song title. Raised on yak.
Raised on yak.
Raised on yak.
Twitter poll that. Yak or wreck?
Bean said rack.
I know. I don't like it. I think we should be a yak household. We should be a yak town.
I agree. There, just clarifying, there isn't a difference, right? It just comes down to preference, what you're calling it. They're not. There's no statistical difference.
So on yak or rack, you can give a call and let us know which side you're on. I'm a little bit, I guess I've been worried about this for a couple years because the Bills have never been a big yak team under Josh Allen.
Oh, they? Never.
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 They've been middle of the pack at best. I was going back to find out yards after catch,
per completion.
Yep.
So in Brian Daboll's last year as offensive coordinator, the 13 seconds here, right?
So 2021, right? Yeah, 2021.
32nd in yak.
I believe that's last.
That is last.
Yeah.
In yards after catch per completion. So 32nd under Dorsey. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, 32nd under Daboll. Then we went into the offseason. The Bills have to get better at yak. Dorsey got the job. He was all about yak, yak. It's very important to get yards after catch. And then in Dorsey's first season, they finished 31st.
Improvement.
Improvement.
Second last. Yep. Okay.
Again, it's only an improvement if you think it's essential to your success, which everybody would love to have yards after catch, but some offenses are different than others. I'm going to get to this point. So then there's last year, and I don't have the splits on what they were Dorsey then to Joe Brady.
Yep.
But last year they were 20th in yak, which is the highest they've been in 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of middle of the pack, 20th in yak, yards after catch per completion. The thing I get to, Joe, is, all right, so who are the best teams in the league in yards after catch? Last season, I want to give you the top 6 or 7. Number one, you have a guess? Who number one in the NFL in yards after catches?
Miami.
Miami is fourth.
Okay, San Francisco.
One.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, those are the two. Those are the Shanahan guys.
Yeah.
McVay.
The Rams?
Yeah, Rams.
They were sixth.
Okay.
Keep guessing. Follow that trail of breadcrumbs.
Okay, how about the Vikings?
The Vikings, middle of the pack.
Middle of the pack? I was just going off the McVay coaching tree there.
The Vikings are way down. They did also lose Kirk Cousins to injury.
Fair. Okay, so
I'll just give them to you.
Go ahead.
We can get some calls here.
Yeah.
Number one is the Niners. Number two is the Chiefs.
Sure, okay, duh.
Number three is Denver last year. Then Miami, Cincinnati, more Sean McVay coaching tree.
Yep.
Rams, Ravens. Those are your top 1, 2, 3, 4, top 7.
Yep.
And the Bills were in the middle. When I think about yards after catch, the Bills have been chasing yards after catch as a concept now for, are we on three? Is it year three?
At least.
Year three of doing it.
Yeah.
Because Dorsey wanted to do it. Year one of that, they got to 31st. Year two of that last year, they got to 20th. This is year three of chasing yak yards. And, you know, Khalil Shakir has been pretty good yards after catch, one of the best players they've had for that in quite some time. Diggs and Davis were never yards after catch guys because they're vertical receivers. The Bills have had a downfield passing game. This has been one of the best passing offenses in football without yards after catch because of the way that it's run.
Mm-hmm.
And I think about how do they want to build a yards after catch team? Is it doing it through passes to running backs? Because they've been looking for pass-catching running backs.
Yep.
What it all comes down to is, if yak came organically, then that's fine. But I don't necessarily know if they should be drafting their players based on it. Right? It's kind of like sacks and pressures.
Uh-huh.
It's good to get sacks. It's actually better to get pressures. If you had a choice between two defensive linemen. One got 8 sacks and one got 6 sacks. But the guy with 6 sacks had twice as many pressures. That's better.
Yeah. You're affecting the quarterback more often.
Right. And if you are a passing team, if the Bills move up in yak yards but down in actual yards, that's not an improvement.
No, right.
Football has a million different things you can gun for. And all I'm kind of getting at is, I don't need to find the best yak receiver. I need the best receiver. And if there's yards after catch, that's fine. Maybe Joe Brady is an accomplished offensive coordinator, and his scheme with Allen will bring about more yak yards. But as I laid out the top 7 teams there, 6, 7 teams, the McVay tree, the Shanahan tree, these guys use motion. The Dolphins have their identity about speed. The Rams, the Niners, the Chiefs, these are elite offensive play designers that get yak yards from their teams. And you run the gamut here. I've got the Niners, who do not have an elite quarterback but have elite skill positions. Kansas City, who does not have elite skill positions, but they have an elite quarterback. Miami, elite skill positions. Cincinnati, good all over the place. Mm-hmm. The Rams, veteran quarterback and a rookie receiver came in and lit it on fire. Like, I've got elite offensive play calling is what's getting me to all that yak.
Yeah.
And sure, the talent, of course. And maybe the Bills have that in Joe Brady, but I'm not sure of that yet. And I don't want to keep chasing yak. They've been chasing it for multiple seasons. I want to make sure I've got players that can pull defenders in ways that Josh Allen can attack them down the field still. And sometimes when I hear
people talk about what this offense starts to look like without a Diggs or a Davis, and with Curtis Samuel and Khalil Shakir, it sounds like it's the dink and dunk West Coast game that you're hoping to scheme open yards after catch all the time, when Josh Allen's been plenty successful without ever having that.
Well, that's why that skill set is not important to me at all when it comes to the draft. Haven't they already done enough on that front? Like, they've done enough. That's more. When it comes to Yak, they've already done more than they've ever done. $8 million a year is not a lot for a wide receiver. But what they just did getting Curtis Samuel, that's more than they've ever done in that department. I think they're good at that front. They have it satisfied. Shakir's good in that area. Cook's good in that area. And Samuel, like, that's his thing. I don't need another guy like that, do I? I don't need to go draft Xavier Worthy because I'm going to go give him reverses and throw screens to him.
No,
do I?
Like, I would draft him because he can be good, and if he gets yards after catch, then that's great. Like, Brian Thomas Jr. might be a yards after catch guy. Okay, if he is great, does he get open down the field? Does he stretch it for me?
Which he does, by the way.
Yeah, he runs curls, well, and he runs hitches,
right.
And he runs the routes that the Bills throw to receivers an awful lot.
Yeah, and I do get the point, and I even respect it that there's a little bit of a shift in the league that way, isn't there? Like, the way defenses are playing, guys like Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes, they're making you do this. They're making you go underneath. And even though the Chiefs don't have great weapons, for years they've had, like, other than Travis Kelce, most of their receivers are usually those type of guys. Mecole Hardman is a Yak guy, and Rashee Rice even last year. Like, what was the Rashee Rice play last year?
Do you know he was?
It was a screen in the slot, and then he ran with the ball in his hands.
He was like number two in the league in Yak. He's
way
up there,
right? And they of course had Tyreek Hill before that, and that's kind of Miami too. The Niners have the same thing. Like, the Bills, I don't need them to go crazy. I don't want them to go draft a first round guy that's a returner that's going to be a guy you throw screens to. I think they've already satisfied it with Samuel, but I do think it's a fair point that they have not had that type of player. That is. But again, you got to have a guy that's that type of player and is actually like versatile enough and reliable enough to be on the field all the time, because who are the guys that they've had? Diggs is always on the field. Not his thing. We saw it last year, right?
They
tried to make him that player
right.
at the end of the season, and it's very evident he's never been that type of player, maybe when he was a rookie, and he is not.
But
he's not a guy you throw the ball to in his hands and you go watch him go. Neither is Gabe Davis. Shakir was a little bit, but...
But even that, hold on. Before you make it too much about their skill set, if Diggs were in a Shanahan offense, he would have more Yak yards. Period.
But it wouldn't mean he's efficient at it.
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, to me, it's a lot of it is scheme is going to get you those Yak yards. You just pointed out, Diggs won a receiving title with this team with not that much in the department of Yak.
Right.
Does it count? If I throw it 12 yards, I throw it 2 and run 10, it's the 12 is the 12. Again, I'm not arguing against it so much as I'm just trying to say, I don't want to get too stuck on it. The same way I don't want to get stuck on 50-50 balls. Like, oh, this guy can catch a lot of 50-50 balls. Why am I throwing 50-50s? A really good offense is not throwing 50-50s.
They never have to.
I want to throw 80-20s, right? So it's just interesting how would they attack all this and how the Bills value receiver. Curtis Samuel, Khalil Shakir, I think they've got some good Yak players. And does the next guy they add to this roster have to be that? I don't think he has to be. Can be a lot of different things. We'll see. We got calls. All right, on Yak versus Rack, let's have it. And we'll put together our wide receiver big board, 803-0550. Jeremy and Joe on WGR. Good Friday morning.
Did you see the news on the Utah team name?
They submitted 5 names. See if I can remember them all, because they're all bad.
Uh-huh.
The Utah Venom, the Utah Fury,
yep.
The Utah Hockey Club,
yep.
The Utah HC, and then the Utah...
I don't remember what the other one was.
They were all bad.
Greg Wyshynski reported yesterday, don't expect a mascot or team nickname until season 2 of the franchise. NHL wants the team to have plenty of time to get it right.
Great, yeah.
So they're going to be Utah Hockey Club for 1 year, aren't they?
Yes. The other one was Blizzard.
Honestly, I think Utah HC is better than a lot of these. If they right,
I
no, Utah HC. That's not better than the Utah Yeti.
Also, did you guys see that all of the Arizona Coyotes records are staying with
Arizona.
Right,
so
which
they're
means
now
the
a defunct franchise.
Timu Solani is about to be the all-time scorer in Utah, whatever history.
Because the records from are Winnipeg. They're going?
Or the no, records are staying? The Arizona ones are staying, so wouldn't that mean
But Arizona had the Winnipeg ones.
They did. But wouldn't that mean the Winnipeg ones stay as well?
This is too confusing for
yes,
me.
Yes, I think so. I the old Winnipeg Jets records are going to now go to Utah.
I would have thought that they would have stayed with Arizona because Arizona is now a defunct franchise. That's what they said.
But
it's inactive. No, it would carry
or inactive,
it.
Not defunct.
It would if the Yotes records are going, then the old Winnipeg Jets records are
between
going.
This and Yak versus Rack, my brain's going to explode. Scott in Grand Island, Yak or Rack?
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
Sure thing.
Thanks for calling.
So I always understood that. Maybe I'm wrong, but yak was a running back stat, and it stood for yards after contact. Well, and rack was a receiving stat, which was run after catch.
No. Well, yards after contact is also used, but I don't think it's used as frequently as yards after catch.
I don't think it's ever used as – I don't think that's ever referred to as yak, personally.
No, I don't think so either. I mean, I'm at profootballreference.com, and yards after catch is yak.
Yeah.
If you click on advanced running, you will get yards after contact and yards before contact.
Is Scott pointing out, though, that it should be rack then for run after catch so that yak could be then available for yards after contact?
Why isn't it run after contact?
That's also just make possible. That's also true.
Yeah. I don't know. Mark and Tonawanda. Hey, Mark.
Hey, good morning, guys. Yeah, I was just sitting here thinking, we're talking about a GM that was willing to trade for Antonio Brown. And I just think there is no way that we stay at 28. And it's going to blow my mind if the plan after Stephon Diggs, I think we have a bottom five receiving core right now as it stands. There is no way you trade away Stephon Diggs, your premier wide receiver, and you aren't trying to trade up. I think this is the biggest bluff in the world by Bean. And I think they tried the 50-50 guy. I think they're looking for deep separation and go up and get a Odunze, you know, or someone that can separate so Josh Allen can throw him the ball downfield. I am not buying that all these mock draft guys are talking about getting defensive tackle. And let's not forget, get the heck out of here. This guy was willing to put Antonio Brown on this football team. And I think since the Kelvin Benjamin move of the 50-50 ball, that he's gone totally away from that. He wants people that can separate. That's why he got Diggs in the route running. But I'm going to have to listen to what you guys have to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not buying Bean's little smoke screens here, and he's getting a receiver.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Don't happen, listen.
Thanks, Mark. We'll get to this on the other side, and we're going to build our big board and tweet out some pictures of it, too. I'm as you're saying that, I'm kind of putting something together in my head, which is this. I don't know that they're going to trade up to 9. They probably won't. That I would guess here, Joe, that doesn't mean it's because they would not want to. There's a team, there's an idea that fundamentally you shouldn't do it, right? Mm-hmm. Never trade up, more picks are better. I don't think that's what's keeping Brandon Bean from doing it. It comes down to whether or not he'll pay the price. He's going to go to that auction. He's going to call that team and say, what would it take? And then they will discuss it and either say yes or no. And if he says no, it's one of the key things about the draft that we never really find out. If he says, I just can't pay it, I'd love to get up there for that guy, but to me, the price is a little too much. Sometimes a GM will come out and say, like, yeah, I tried to move up. Plenty of times I bet that GM does not come out and say, I tried to, but didn't, you know, decided not to. So I'm just eager to hear how it sounds a week from today. If they don't move up, and who even cares what they do? I bet that they want to and they will or would if the price is right in their mind. He even said that. I don't love giving up a future first, but if it makes sense, I would. There's plenty of draft community that says a future first is never worth it. And here he is saying, if it makes sense. So it comes down to, I bet he goes to the auction and I bet he raises a paddle, but I'm not sure if he's the last person bidding on that 9th pick or whatever the pick is, 17.
Mm-hmm.
803-0550. And 1-888-550-2550. Thanks, Mark, on that, on, you know, how likely they are to make some sort of bold move. I definitely think it's in the cards. We'll put together this big board, rank our receivers. We got this guy. Who's everybody's wide receiver four? Do we have a consensus?
Wide receiver four?
Who's the consensus four?
I think it's overwhelming majority still have the same wide receiver four, personally.
All right.
I'm ready to defend him, too.
Don't forget.
As like a, he's becoming maybe my favorite idea for the Bills.
Brian Thomas
which
Jr.
changes every 3 days.
Don't so forget.
Prepare for a Monday when I have a new favorite idea.
Joe Marino, Lockdown Bills podcast. His wide receiver four?
He's not the guy I'm about
to. Do you remember who it was?
It's not the guy everyone else has. Or a lot of people have.
It's Xavier Leggett.
Yep. Yep.
Get a break in. Build this big board and chat with you here as we're less than a week out on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.